Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
So I feel very strong about this. If you want to do anything in life, you can either do it yourself and figure it out, or you can do this. You can hire a coach. And so my guest today is Jackie Ross. From now on, I'm going to call her Jackie the coach, or Coach Jackie. And she has a specialty, and her specialty is career coaching, perhaps for women. We're going to find out exactly what that's all about, but really helping people make the transition from doing your own thing and making it bigger, or leaving a career, making it bigger. So Jackie, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Greg. I'm thrilled.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I actually started out after I went to college in behavioral health, mental health. And my grandfather was actually a psychiatrist in the 20s. He practiced in the 20s and 30s. And unfortunately, he died very young. I didn't get a chance to know him. But I do feel like innately ingrained in my DNA has just been this natural curiosity about people. I certainly consider myself a student of humanity. And I worked with youth. So kids who had emotional and behavioral problems, they were in treatment programs, you know, kids with trauma, and a whole variety of other issues. And I loved every minute of it. And if you have had teenagers or have worked with teenagers, and we've all been teenagers ourselves, but they allowed me an opportunity to really learn more about myself. I guarantee they taught me far more than I ever taught them. And I did that for about 10 years. And I then ended up running some very large treatment facilities, and I encountered my first really crappy boss. And I was young, and I really didn't know how to handle it. And I decided at the time that my best strategy was to go back to school. But I didn't feel destined to be a therapist or a psychologist. I had more of an interest in organizations and business. So I actually got my master's in management focusing on organizational development, and I shifted my whole career to the world of human resources, or HR, where kind of the blend between mental health and HR, you know, if you think of human resources, it's kind of the place where issues come to live and be resolved in organizations. And so I spent about 20 plus years in HR, and really, Greg, what I was doing was I was really helping the workforce navigate workplace issues, workplace relationships, looking at career planning. And I was also helping managers become more effective leaders. So in essence, I was really coaching. So I decided to get certified, and I opened up my own private coaching practice. And where I felt like I can contribute the most and folks were the most attracted in working with me was in this career development realm. So I work with really ambitious professionals, both intrapreneurs, folks who are in organizations, who are entrepreneurs, who are often battling self-doubt, confidence issues. They really want to tackle that, and they want to ignite their confidence, and they really want to lean into owning a leadership that is genuine and authentic to who they am. And that may be involving looking for a better fit, whether it's a position or organization, or developing their professional skill set. So in essence, that's what I do. And I've been recently integrating mental fitness into the work that I'm doing and leveraging my mental fitness training into my coaching. So I hope that gives you a picture.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, I've done some, you know, research, looked at your website, and we'll talk about that. I'm fascinated by HR, and I think it's a great fit for what you're doing now. HR and companies, there's a culture, and there's problems, and I have to assume, though I've never been in that situation, that there's certain patterns that come up over and over again. In your many years of working in corporations with HR, what were some of the issues that you could write a book about? You know, chapter one would be this, chapter two would be this, you know, patterns that repeated over and over again. Are there, or was everything kind of unique?
Oh, that's a great question. I actually did write a book, and I actually have an e-book. So I would say, well, the first issue that comes up often, and this is prevalent with all walks of life, whether I've worked with men, women, in the industry, age, et cetera, the first thing that comes up is that we all have this narrative, right? We have this narrative that tells us, like our inner critic that says who we can and can't be, what we can and cannot do. And so even though the stories that I hear are different, the themes are often the same, and it's all this sense of lack of confidence. So a lot of internal stuff. I think the second thing that comes up pretty regularly is that there are some really crummy bosses out there, and folks that I work with are trying to navigate these relationships that are so amazingly critical to them in their work life. And if you think about your boss has the power, so to speak, to really influence what your work experience is. So I work with a lot of folks about how do you really leverage that relationship, how do you really manage up, and not just rely on your boss as the sole resource that you have, but really look at what other wealth of resources do you have available to you. You know, some folks call building your board of directors, so to speak, or your people wheel. So those are some of the two primary issues. And I would say lastly is that we're all trying to find a place where we feel like we can leverage our strengths and really do the kind of work that we're here to do, you know, be able to integrate, even if it's not 100% of the time, but that we can tap into the stuff, our talents, our gifts, and inject that into the work that we do every day, because that's the battery charging stuff. That's the stuff that makes us feel awesome. It almost feels like we're not working. So really folks being challenged about being in what I call like energy draining types of environments or doing the types of tasks that would be energy draining. So I know those are kind of three different buckets, but those are the things I would say.
Yeah, that is fascinating to me. And this is kind of a subjective question. How many people do you think, or do you think it's the majority of people or the minority of people that absolutely are totally engaged with what they're doing in their career, or are they just showing up, you know, dialing it in, looking forward to the weekend, and they just don't care? Have you looked at the numbers? Do you have a feeling of what that's like?
Yeah, and I don't know the exact statistics, but I do know that Gallup does a lot of research on this, and the prevalence is that the majority of folks, I think the percentage was about 65%, so like two-thirds of the workforce are disengaged in the work that they're doing. And a smaller percentage of that number are folks who are actually like causing damage, right? Like they're the folks that are creating like really toxic work cultures. They are the, you know, like troublemakers within organizations, really creating a toxicity. The other percentage of folks who are disengaged, you know, they just kind of come in, they do the basic, and, you know, they're not necessarily causing damage, but they're not necessarily contributing to the maximum. And then you have a small percentage that are really there who are fully engaged, fully participating. But you know what, Greg, today, the other theme that comes up so often is just the level of burnout, stress, and overwhelm. I mean, not only are people experiencing things in their own personal worlds, but if you look at what's happening socially, and I'm not trying to get political, but we have within our country, a landscape that has incredibly changed. We have globally things that are going on, and people are taxed. They're taxed out. So it's work, and then the ramifications of things that are happening in the world that are impacting organizations. So I would say that.
Wow. You don't paint a very pretty picture. I mean, this is weighing down the statistics, the number, and the reality, and it just confirms what I think as well as far as what's going on in the world today. People are anxious. People are looking for an escape route. People are looking, oh, I just can't wait till I retire, you know? So as a career development coach, what are you doing for people? How do you help them? Because I know that's your forte.
So it's a great question. First of all, I think the first thing that folks are looking for is some sense of clarity. A lot of times when people feel stuck, it's because they feel like they don't have options. And the reality is that we do have options. So a lot of what we do initially is get clear on what it is that they actually want. And I have to tell you this, that in a lot of other parts of our lives, we're very methodical, we're very planful in terms of, you know, our checklists, what things kind of fit, what are aligned with our values, and all those areas. And when it sometimes comes to our career, we don't often really kind of enter things as strategically. So really having a space that people can start to look at, what is it that I really want in my working world? What do I want my environment to be? Whose problems do I want to solve? You know, what kind of people do I want to be around? Like, you know, who energizes me? And really getting a sense of creating a career vision statement. So we really work on that, because once you know where you want to go, like, what's your North Star? Even if it's not crystal clear, you know, you kind of have this lighthouse image that's, you know, still really foggy, but, you know, you have a picture of where you want to go. It's just like your GPS, right? The first question your GPS asks you is, well, where are you starting from? And the next question it asks you is, well, where do you want to go? And then once you identify those areas, it charts like your options and courses. It's the same thing that we do in coaching, is where is it that you want to go, where are you starting from, and what are some actionable steps in order to close that gap. And really what we do is, you know, and I tell people, I do not have the power to tell you what you're destined to do. I do not have the ability to get you that next job or start to venture in a business if that's where you're moving towards. But what I can do is provide a process and facilitate a platform where you're going to have a safe space to really throw stuff on the wall. And then you got to go out and you got to execute on it. And we'll talk about what's working, what's not working, where do you need to pivot. And then we get into the stuff that gets in our way, which is largely ourselves, right? Like, so, you know, our self-doubt starts to ring in, and our, you know, all these kind of judgy narratives start to ring in about, again, who we can and can't be, and our fear starts to, you know, emerge, and all those pieces. So I think that's, you know, the crux of coaching, and really find ways for people to empower themselves. Because oftentimes when you start to realize that you are the captain of your ship, you are the, you know, person that's going to create this destiny, it's empowering. So oftentimes what I hear from my clients, and I ask, this is my favorite question at the end of our sessions each time, I'll ask folks, what was most helpful about our session and discussion today? And 9 times out of 10, what I hear is, it just felt really good to put things out there and kind of hear my thoughts out loud, because there's a different experience when I say it out loud verbally and then I can kind of play with it than when it's just stuck in my head. So I hope that paints a bit of a picture.
Yeah, this is wonderful. The question I was going to ask is somewhat, I think we're definitely on the same page because you kind of answered it. I love the metaphor of the GPS. You have to know where you are because the first thing my GPS says, it has to figure out where I am. And then once it locks my, you know, where I am, my location, then I'm putting in where I want to go, which is wonderful. What stops people? And you talked about it. It's the narrative. It's the self-doubt. And you also shared with me when we talked a couple days ago that most people, the common denominator is, I think we mentioned this this idea that I don't think I'm worthy, or, you know, this imposter syndrome. I mean, how much does that imposter syndrome come up?
All the time. I have clients working at major companies, Salesforce, Facebook, you know, all these major places, and regardless, again, of who they are and where they're coming from, the theme is the same. It's this judge, and in the mental fitness program that I also guide people through, and folks can look at this program online, it's called positiveintelligence.com. And what I do is I integrate the mental fitness program into our coaching because it's really about, it's like physical fitness. So, you know, it's hugely important to be physically fit. It's incredibly important to be mentally fit. And in order to get mentally fit, it's just like going to the gym, right? You have to build those muscles. You don't just go to the gym, you know, do 1,000 reps and walk out and you're bulked out. The same thing is true with mental fitness. In order for you to handle stressors and whatever those may be, you have to build those muscles in order to get that fitness. And the muscles are sometimes about combating what we call the judge and all these saboteurs that live inside of us. And oftentimes, these saboteurs, they lie to us, right? They make us think that they're going to keep us safe. They're going to protect us. And they keep us, you know, so far from really where it is that we want to go. And they're often things like our greatest strengths that we actually use and overuse to our detriment. And so really looking at what are those messages, what are those voices that we're hearing? And I don't mean that in a, you know, mental health way that we're, you know, kind of not in reality and hearing these voices. We all have these internal critics that will kind of like jump out when all of a sudden we're entering territory that's unknown, or if we're feeling like, you know, who am I? Who do I think I am that I can actually do this? And I'll give you an example, Greg. I encountered this all the time. So part of what I do is I write social media posts, and I try to write about some of these areas that I'm talking about. And even though I like to write, when I sit down to write, I have that critic going on in my head, and it says, Jackie, what is it that you have to say that anyone's really going to care about? And, you know, and then I start to, you know, get, you know, these other, you know, narratives that talk about, like, what is it that you have to share with folks anyway? No one's going to really care what you have to say. And I really have to work hard to say, wait a second, how do I reduce this? And how do I find ways to be able to do right? Because, you know, something, I do know that there are things that I write that are worthy, that are good, and not everyone's going to like them, but some people are going to connect with what the messages that I have to share. So it happens with everybody. And so a lot of what we do is look at how do we start to acknowledge when those saboteurs start to creep up, because when you can name them, you can tame them. And then we look at strategies that I help folks practice, and it's through the Positive Intelligence Program to really help us get into a state where we can be more responsive rather than reactive, and responsive in a way that is going to be more curious, more compassionate, more empathic, and more calm and clear-headed. So that's really the goal, because when we're in that state of feeling unworthy, we're too this, we're too that, whatever it is, you know, that's kind of telling us that we're not capable, it's a really hard place to do good work. It's a really hard place to perform well. So that's the goal. And I think it's a lifetime journey. We don't just kind of do it once and get there. It's going to happen repeatedly over the course of our day through our lifetime, just like getting physically fit is going to be a conscious action that we're going to do the rest of our lives to stay physically fit. I don't know.
So I have two thoughts that are running through my head. One is that people who raise, or I shouldn't say raise, the people that rise to the corporate level and they get to positions of they're managing people, maybe they don't have the emotional skills or the leadership skills or the people skills to do some of this work. You know, maybe they got promoted because they were really good at what they were doing, but they can't lead. But the other question is, are you actually seeing this in CEOs and CFOs and top leadership, this idea of sabotage and doubt? Are you seeing it in those places as well?
Absolutely. I do work with a lot of women, and oftentimes, and this is actually, let me retract that, because what I often find leaders, and this is true also for folks who identify as more introverted, and introversion versus extroversion, people get really, I think, our definitions or understanding sometimes is a little bit misguided. So the way that I understand it is, introverts and extroverts, the difference is really about where we get our energy charging, kind of activities from, like what charges our batteries. And so for an introvert, for example, they could be in front of thousands of people, like they could be speaking in front of a large group, they could be magnanimous, they could be extremely outgoing, but it's going to drain their energy. And the difference is that, extroverts, in order for them to get re-energized, they need all this stimulation. I find that there are a lot of senior level, high level executives that are identified as introverts, and they feel as if they have to become someone that they're not to be an effective leader, meaning that what gets recognized socially, what gets recognized in organizations are the people who are the loudest, the people who are charismatic, the people who are, kind of out there. And oftentimes, introverts feel like, where's my place and space as a leader? And a lot of the work that I do with folks is not working on becoming someone that you're not, but figuring out how do you find a way to lean in and gain a comfortability, almost like a comfort in your own skin, that you have everything that you need right there, and it's just about like 10xing who you are so that the best of you can come out, because you don't have to be an extrovert to be an effective leader. And actually, there's been a lot of research done that introverts are actually better leaders. So that's some of the areas that I think people wrestle with, is feeling like they have to become someone that they're not. And oftentimes we really just work on how do you settle in into your own leadership skin and feel a sense of confidence around that and feel a sense of worthiness around that.
Wow. Wow. How many of the people that you coach actually leave what they're doing and go elsewhere? Is it a lot of people, or do a lot of people just stay and change?
It's a great question. A lot of folks that I work with are developing the skill sets to increase their promotability and visibility. So some of them are actually, have gained more senior positions in organizations. And it's really a split, because it really depends on what are they learning through the coaching process. Is this the right fit for me? Is this the right organization? Where can I go that I'm going to feel that I'm more aligned with the cultural values from my own organizations? And many folks go from that to either starting a side gig or taking the leap and becoming a full-time entrepreneur.
Wow. So I'm looking at the time. We have 5 minutes left. So how do people get a hold of you in case they want to reach out and do some coaching with you?
Oh, and well, certainly you can go to my website. It's Coach Jackie Ross. And Ross is R-O-S-S. I always say it's like Diana Ross. And folks know what I mean. So it's CoachJackieRoss.com. You can go on my website, and if you click on the tab Book Online, you can book a free discovery session. I'm offering, free coaching sessions. So anyone who's interested in getting a free session with me, feel free to book that. And you can also email me at Jackie@CoachJackieRoss.com.
So when they book a session with you, is it 15 minutes? Is it a half an hour? How long does it last, and does it always end in a relationship to do further coaching, or is it okay just to call you and to have a conversation? Like, what's that all about?
That's great. If they go on my website and book a discovery session, it's a half hour, and you'd be surprised, Greg, what we can accomplish in a half an hour. So really getting a sense about what your current situation is, what are some of your target goals, and really setting up some action steps about next steps. And folks, some folks decide to move forward and really engage in coaching. Again, I also offer the mental fitness program through Positive Intelligence. I offer it at a much different rate than what you would pay on the website at Positive Intelligence. It's just part of my package. And you know what? I have to tell you that people sign on when they are ready to sign on. It's a commitment in many realms in their life. And I like to take folks who are really serious about their commitment. Again, I provide a platform, but the heavy lifting is really with the clients that I work with. And coaching is an area that you have to make some decisions about really wanting to make some change and figure out, where it is that you want to go. So I've had a coach, frankly, for the last 6 years, and it's been life-changing. So I don't say that just to sell my services. I say that because even if I'm not the right person, and I don't have any difficulty saying that, I've met with folks that I've said, I'm not the right person for you. And I have a whole, set of colleagues of other coaches. I've referred folks to other people. Just like any other relationship that you encounter, some people, it's a match, right? Like you feel connected, you feel aligned. It'd be a good working relationship. But I'm not the coach for everybody. And I certainly would not sign someone on if I felt that it wasn't a good match. So I look for folks that are really, committed to doing the work and are open. So, and I also have lots of resources and people I can refer people to. So
yeah.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, and I agree. My first coach, it was many, many years ago. I'm talking probably 30 years ago. I'll never forget. It was Zig Ziglar Coaching. The guy's name was Steve Martin. Not the comedian Steve Martin, but it was, I think, 12 sessions. This is back in, I guess, the 90s, and it was like $1,200. It was like $100 a session, and we focused on business. And throughout the years, I've had marketing coaches. I've had one guy I worked with on my speech because I do speaking. It was like $2,500, and it was only a few hours. But I'll tell you, the things I learned from him, priceless. Things that may have taken me a year to figure out or 5 years here. So by hiring a coach, you're able to shorten the learning curve, and you can model people. So Jackie, I'm looking at the time. We only have 50 seconds left. Give out your website one more time, really quick, really quick.
You got it. CoachJackieRoss.com. My email is Jackie@CoachJackieRoss.com. I'd love to connect.
Okay, sounds good. Jackie, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great week, and hope we gave you something to think about. We're out. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.